Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 18th, 2019. It's Monday, so it's Memorization Monday, one of my favorite days of the week. In fact, my special guest, a good friend. Actually, how many years have we been pinnacling together, I guess we would say?
I would say, Mark, at least 5 years.
Yeah. And thank you for getting here early. We had a little revival going. Mark was sharing some of his expertise in a variety of areas, and maybe we'll even get to the five dimes at some point in this program. But with it being Memorization Monday, our verse for this week that we're going to talk about and share, along with some testimony from Mark, is Romans 8:28, probably familiar to many of you. It's been memorized and referred to and maybe sometimes even used out of context, but it's a great verse. It's an encouraging verse. And it states, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." That's the NIV rendering, and we'll read about that in just a minute. But Mark, who's joining me today, has been married to Tammy, sweet Tammy, for 39 years, I think.
39 years in December, yes.
39 years in December. You live in the Mahomet area.
We do.
You're a professor at Parkland College. I think you're in business management.
That's correct.
And in fact, I think 3 or 4 years ago, at one point, you invited me in. That was kind of a fun for me to share with your class.
Yep. Uh-huh.
A former owner of Subway sandwich shops. Mm-hmm. But when I think of you, I wrote down a few words: optimistic, an encourager, enthusiastic, and loyal. These 5 years that I've gotten to know you through our small group pinnacle meetings and the larger group gatherings, you always have that edge of looking on the bright side, or you're optimistic about things, a total encourager, which I appreciate and I think our small group appreciates. You're always, "I like this about you," or "that really is a great insight." You compliment well and you encourage very effectively. You're enthusiastic about life, and maybe it's because of Tammy treats you so well and you married up, or she's taking care of you.
Yes.
And I feel like a loyal friend. I know we have a confidence in our group, and it seems how you interact with the guys and talk with the guys. You seem to be very loyal. So appreciate that. We're also in Dr. Webb's study on Saturdays, the first and third Saturdays. So this past Saturday, when I saw you afterwards, I said, "Might you be available for Memorization Monday?" And you're like, "Sure, you know, what verse is it?" And I said, "Well, it'll be Romans 8:28. And you said, "Well, that's a great verse, sure." So we get to also meet on Saturdays. And I know you serve currently with the Pinnacle Forum, and that's a group of men that gather once a month. And you serve currently as like a forum, small group developer. You
that's
help
right.
with the small groups. And Pinnacle is known as, they're high capacity leaders that are influencers. And the goal, because most of the men are probably 50, 60, 70s, they're in their later stages of life or their career, desiring to finish well.
Mm-hmm.
And to use their skills and abilities and talents to help maybe other organizations or ministries, or to continue to help other groups excel, because many of these high-capacity leaders are efficient or effective or very gifted, you know, CEOs, CFOs, or leaders in the industry. And so they can help other nonprofits or other organizations. And so finishing well is kind of a target that we're all trying to achieve and reach. So anything else you want to say about Pinnacle?
I was just going to say that is all true. Ironically, we are in the process of reaching out to the millennial group, even maybe a decade past the millennial, the 25 to 35-year-olds, and really developing leadership, transforming leaders to transform culture in their circle of influence. And it really goes back to a song that I remember growing up by Rod Stewart called Ooh La La. And the premise was, "I wish I knew what I knew now when I was younger."
Right.
And so it's an opportunity. It really ties into Dr. Webb's book that we're studying on the Saturdays about letters to David himself as a current 73-year-old writing letters to when David Webb was 30. And we take that kind of premise of what we're trying to establish within our young millennial pinnacle group is reaching out to those 25, 35, just starting the family, just starting the business, really developing and encouraging their faith walk. But not waiting until they're our age,
right,
Mark.
Right. Yeah, they're the future
leaders.
They're
the future. Yeah. And so that is really a direction that we're seeing that we can build on this. And then we can provide mentorship with them. Yeah. And in fact, many of them have said that's what we desire is someone who's been successful, but successful doing it in a biblical principle way, right, doing it the right way. So that's who we're also reaching out as well. And I love that. I love to, I teach, as you mentioned, at Parkland College, and it really refreshes me and energizes me personally when I see 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are there to really experience the greatest investment that they could ever make is on their on themselves.
Right.
And so I just love working in that capacity. And then although it becomes difficult, let's be honest, in a public setting, especially in education, to share your faith, although my goal, I think I've mentioned this to you before, maybe privately, is that by the end of the semester, people know that I'm a Christ follower,
right,
and try to somehow work that in over the semester, right, with students. And I feel that I need to be bold in my faith that way. But I also understand, maybe there are some limitations, unfortunately. But with this group, we can talk about our faith.
Right.
We can talk about their business and their challenges and obstacles that we all face when we were at that age for various reasons. So,
and what's so neat about your faith journey is how God has used you these last 5 or 6 or 10 years. Maybe before we get into Romans 8:28, give us a little snapshot, because you've been energized through Dr. Webb, through other faithful Christian followers, through your own reading of God's Word. But really, it's been 5 or 6, 7 really energized years. So you're kind of, I wouldn't say new to the faith, but new to be used of God in exciting ways, where maybe in the past you did the right things, you were morally good, you were honest, you knew right from wrong, but you had kind of a turning point where Jesus became more living and active through you, and the excitement of serving him in your, 60s now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, to be honest, I feel like I'm maybe that traditional Christian in the fact that we went to church every Sunday, we took our kids to church, we maybe were in a Bible study, maybe we weren't, but we read Scripture. I'm not sure if I really understood Scripture. I'm not sure if we really dived into the Word itself. And I would say over the last, you're right, about 5 or 6 years, my wife and I are both in two different Bible studies. I've gotten involved in Pinnacle that you had mentioned. And I've become, I'm still a work in progress,
right,
Mark. I'm still learning. I'm trying to, and ironically that you asked me here on Monday for memorizing Monday Scripture and that. That's one of my goals, is that because we need that memorization, that when times get tough, when we're tempted, we can immediately think of a Scripture that can pull us back into the Word of God. And I'm not huge on social media, but I certainly use my cell phone a lot, in that when I do struggle with a Scripture, and any of us can learn, I think we learned on Saturday how you don't have to be super intelligent to be able to memorize.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah.
It's just the time that you spent to do this. But I keep a lot of Scripture on my phone, and I'm like a lot of people today, that the phone is within an arm's reach of me, and I can refer back to at in an instant. I can pull up a lot of Scripture that really fits whatever I'm thinking about, and it's just how those words pop up out of the pages that really inspire me maybe to inspire others. So,
Well, with this being Memorization Monday, we have a special reading. It's out of the book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. Our verse today is Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, and it's important, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So that's really important to know, those of us that love him, who have been called according to his purposes. So, Mark, thank you for joining us on this Memorization Monday, and maybe after we do the special reading, it's such a great verse. So many people are familiar with this chapter in Romans, Romans 8, and maybe all of Romans, but if you're new and this is maybe the first time you've heard this scripture, may this be true of you today, that you'll recognize God's love for you, that he wants to work in and through your life, that he'll chase after you. He's created you. You have purpose and meaning. And this is just a verse that so many of us cling to. And when times are hard or when there's things uncertain, we can kind of rest assured that in all things, he'll work for our good. He has ultimate purposes and plans. Things don't happen by chance. Yes, sometimes it's not necessarily God's will that some of these tragedies befall you. He doesn't cause them to happen, but he'll work through them and bring good out of it. And sometimes the good is that you've survived through it and you can help others that may, in fact, go through it later on. Or there's lots of other applications. But, Mark, thank you for joining me today and presenting this reading for our great listeners.
Well, thank you, Mark. Romans 8:28 is a favorite verse of millions of people around the world. It's arguably the greatest promise in the Bible, for it summarizes all of the others. It's the biblical basis for optimism and the promise that morphs us into resilient sanguines, whatever our temperament. It's God's dark room in which negatives become positives. It's his situation reversal machine in which heartaches are changed into hallelujahs. It is the foundation of hope and a foundation of confidence. Even our failures can become enriching, and our sins can be redeemed. Even death itself becomes a blessing for the child of God. Romans 8:28 is all-inclusive, all-powerful, and always available. It is as omnipotent as the God who signed and sealed it. It is as loving as the Savior who died to unleash it. It can do anything God can do. It can touch any hurt and redeem any problem. It isn't a mere platitude, but a divine promise. It isn't a goal, but a guarantee. It isn't wishful thinking, but a shaft of almighty providence that lands squarely on our pathway each day and every moment.
Wow, this verse, this is, I mean, are you getting charged, everyone? This verse is for you. If you're tuned in and you're maybe feeling like you're overwhelmed or it's not a good start to the day or you're taxed or pressured or don't know where to turn, this verse is going to help us all today.
Continuing, Mark, the Lord moves heaven and earth to keep his promise. He puts his eye to the microscope of providential oversight and scans the smallest details of our lives, working them into the tapestry of blessing, making sure goodness and mercy follow us all of our days. In memorizing this verse, remember that the first part is the promise. The last half is the condition. The first part tells us what God will do in working all things for our good. The last part gives us our responsibility to love him and be true to his purposes in our lives. Memorize Romans 8:28, and you need never despair again. Then it goes on, Mark, about telling a little bit further, I guess maybe in a more personal note. It says, everything that happens to you is for your own good. If the waves roll against you, it only speeds your ship toward the port. If lightning and thunder come, the rain clears the atmosphere and promotes your soul's health. You gain by loss, you grow healthy in sickness, you live by dying, and you are made rich in losses. Could you ask for a better promise? It is better than all things should work for my good, than all things should be as I would wish to have them. All things might work for my pleasure, and yet might all work my ruin. If all things do not always please me, they will always benefit me. This is the best promise of this life, quoted by Charles H. Spurgeon on Romans 8:28. And Mark, there's also a quote by John A. Brodus. We cannot fully understand now, But when we stand upon the heights of glory, we shall look back with joy on the things we have suffered, for we shall know then that our severest trials were a part of the all things which work together for eternal good. John A. Brodus.
Wow. Well, it's a great verse. I don't know if you've memorized this in the past, Mark. I've known this one for many years, and many people will quote it sometimes, maybe not at the appropriate time, because if somebody's in the midst of some major tragedy or, you know, a stillborn birth or you know, something that I can't even fathom, the heartache, the finding out they have cancer, you don't want to go, well, in all things, God works for good. Now, it's true. And there may be a time to raise that, but maybe not initially or right away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to grieve alongside someone or just be silent. The Hebraic way is like Job's friends. They should have just been silent. And I think there is a practice where so many days you just don't even give any advice or counsel. But the beauty of this verse is that it is a truth. And it was interesting. I wrote a couple little things I underlined. There are some conditions here. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So there is a condition of loving God. So somebody that hasn't followed the Lord Jesus Christ, hasn't surrendered and recognized that they were sinners and that they needed a Savior, they might not be entitled to the same privileges of those that have confessed our sins, that followed Jesus, and so that love God. Mm-hmm. But there is a condition here and a responsibility to love him. But when we do, then we're assured that all things will work for good, and that can be measured. It doesn't mean that it works out the way you want it, or it guarantees that your checkbook's going to balance and the funds are going to start coming in, or you're going to be healed or cured. But in all eternity, the rewards might be heavenly rewards, or the healing might be because God does take us, in fact, home, or it might not be easily measured according to our human understanding. But what a great verse.
Yeah, and I think Proverbs 3, when it talks about trust in the Lord with all your might, lean not on your own understandings. And I would agree with you, Mark. We can't understand all the things that happen here on earth, but I truly believe with the love of God that hopefully you have, that in your heavenly world, that that these understandings will be clearer to you.
Right.
And I think that's the promise that we have and something that we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
And as you've mentioned over the last 5 or 6 years, I don't think I had that clear belief and faith in my understanding it as I do now. And we all go through trials and tribulations and temptations, but knowing that God is in charge and we love God and will be called to those according to his purpose, we just have that to look forward to in our heavenly earth.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to have the right understanding of who God is. He is a loving God full of grace and mercy. I've talked about this in the past, but sometimes we indict God the Father according to how our earthly fathers treat us. So when we think of Father God or, you know, God is my father, well, maybe your father was a workaholic, or maybe he was a good provider, but he wasn't there for you, or maybe he was abusive or inept or distant. And sometimes when you hear people pray, their prayers are to this distant, far away God because they never had an intimate, good, wonderful personal relationship with their dad. So sometimes we indict God the Father according to our earthly dad. So a little shout out, dads, you can model to your family, your children, to the world, the healthy part of God. And so we have to be cognizant of the fact that truly God, as we see revealed through Jesus, was perfect, was loving, was caring, was compassionate. Yes, he was righteous. Yes, he will judge sin, but he extended grace and love and care to us. And when we understand this loving God, we do want to follow him. And that's why this verse becomes so great. And we know that in all things, God, this great, wonderful, loving God, works for the good of those who love him. And if you know him, you'll love him, and you'll love him because he's revealed through Jesus, who sacrificed everything for you. Jesus Christ loves you. He cares for you. And he sent the Holy Spirit to abide in you so that you can have this powerful relationship with him, understanding him through his word. But we're drawn to love him because of the love that Jesus showed each and every one of us and revealed the Father's love for us. And then those of us that have been called to his purposes. So what a great mission, listener, today, to live according to God's purposes, to love him, to care for his people, to share the good news message of Jesus, to reach out in this hurting world with that fragrance of Christ, that love of God, and be men and women of integrity. We could get on a whole what we learned from Dr. Webb this past Saturday.
That's right.
Getting into God's word and living as men and women of integrity. But what a great verse that we can hold on to today, Romans 8:28. Read through the book of Romans, or at least chapter 8, or how about 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Great verse for us all. Well, thank you, Mark.
Thank
you for being a part of.
You're welcome. Allowing me to be here.
Yeah, well, you're a blessing, Mark. A good friend, a man of God, and a model to many. Well, I'll close out with a special song I just got off the internet titled All Things Work Together for Good. May you realize that truth today as you love God. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mark Kessler with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Let's sing it together.